And I know you've taught for years, and so many people in this room honor you as well. And sometimes we don't appreciate people like you publicly like we should, but I just want to say that we are thankful for you. And I think I told Gina, like, I told her again this afternoon, I said, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing for the Dan Preach night. She's like, you've already told me that 3 times in the last couple of days. So I know I'm looking forward to it. I know we are looking forward to hearing you preach. Brother Dan, would you come up here and preach the message that God's given you?
Amen. Thank you for that eulogy, brother. It's a privilege to know the Lord and to know that He's allowed me to be able to speak before people. And the one thing that I remember when I got saved is that I asked the Lord that He would allow me to be an influence to other people. And the only way to do that is being faithful to Him. And you can do the same. And that's what He has for us. Matthew chapter 7 tonight. Matthew chapter 7. By way of scripture, just before we get there, Psalm 2 tells us, why does the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against His anointed. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall He speak unto them in His wrath and vex them in His sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare a decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he perish from the way when his wrath is kindled but little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in Him. We live in a very vicarious world. The Bible tells us, if Peter had told Timothy, we live in perilous times. Now, thinking that Timothy, all the way back then, at the turn of the time of the world, Jesus had already been crucified and risen. Timothy had been led to the Lord by Paul. And Paul tells him, we live in perilous times. Now here we are some 2,000 years down the road, and we are facing a time which the history of our nation has never seen before. And tonight, I just want to express to you that the times which we have today, where God has been kicked out of our government, He's been kicked out of our schools, He's been kicked out of our lives, He's been kicked out of our homes. I want to suggest to you tonight that God is not gone anywhere. It is we. It is us. If you feel far from God, look up. And guess who moved? It wasn't God. Is still where He has always been. In Matthew chapter 7 tonight, I want to share with you the power of prayer. Want to change things in our world today? Want to change things and put things back together? Maybe not as they were before, but getting closer to God, there's only but one way, and that's prayer. The power of prayer. Acts tells us, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. We're witnesses for God. That when we got saved, God gave us the power to communicate with Him. He gave us His Word. And here in chapter 7 of Matthew, beginning in verse 7, He says, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Let's pray. Father, we ask you now that you would show us your word tonight. Stir our hearts. Fill me, Lord, with the power of your spirit that, Lord, these people, these dear, gracious people, Lord, that they would understand your word. And, Lord, they would be encouraged, that they would be charged, that, Lord, they could know that they could come to you and ask anything that they will, and you would give it to them according to your word. And we ask you that in Jesus' name. Amen. Scripture tells us that in these last days, men's hearts are going to wax worse and worse. Not only that, that we are in a day in which that which is good is now called bad. That which is bad, they're now calling it good. How do we change such a thing? How, you know, I believe in all my heart that the biggest reason we see a lot of things in our world today is because Christians have not spoken up. And our failures, as we look in the Word of God, we find that our failures are not physical failures, but they're prayer failures. We fail to pray. I've heard so many people turn around and say, I don't pray. I said, how come you don't pray? I said, well, I think God's too busy for me. No, He's not. God cares about each and every one of us. God cares about us so much. That's why He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you were the only one in this world, Jesus would have came and died for you. I said, really? Yeah. There was one other time in our world, in our world's history, where there was only two people in this entire world. The first one was Adam. Same one was Eve. And when they failed, when they disobeyed God, God was still there. He was right there waiting for them. He went walking through the cool of the evening and going through the garden and said, Adam, where are you? Now, it wasn't that God didn't know where they were. He wanted them to know where they were. He wanted them to understand where they are. And even tonight, God wants you to understand where you are in your life. He said to ask. Christians can pray. That very first portion of that verse, ask, and it shall be given unto you. You know, God's not too busy for you and me. God's always been there. I like Jeremiah 33:3. Call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Oh, everybody in this room, some has a cell phone. And I've seen the greatest curse. That could be a blessing, yes. But I say the greatest curse in this society that we have today is because of the cell phone. You sit at the same dinner table, and children are on their cell phones. And it's one of them have carpal tunnel. Maybe this is what they might have. But they're going at it. And then when they want to talk to mom and dad, who's sitting right across the table, instead of saying, hey, mom and dad, can you pass the paroles? They're texting them. I've seen it out in the restaurants and all that and everything going on. And it's just crazy what people do. But the things we need to realize is we need to put cell phones down and realize that God is there. God doesn't need a cell phone. Remember the time when you would call somebody and it's busy? Or you call, even on your cell phones now, you call somebody and you get your voicemail. And with the voicemail and all of that, you hear your message, and next thing you know, you're playing phone tag, and you're wondering what's happening, and you don't seem to ever connect. You don't get there with God. You get a straight answer from Him. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee. Ask. You know, the very first asking that I ever realized in my life was that when I got saved. The Bible tells us, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. No one needs to know that God is not real, because He is. The Bible tells us that those who don't believe in God, it's the fool that said in his heart there is no God. And sometimes Christians, we play that card. We turn around, and if you look at the verse and look up the meanings of the words where it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In the Hebrew, it's there that the fool has said in his heart, no God. sometimes we as Christians, God asks us to do something and we say no. Did you ever wonder why you didn't get your prayers answered? Because we don't ask. Or we say no. God wants us to do things. You know, James chapter 4, and he tells us, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? You lust, you have not, you kill the desire to have, and cannot obtain, you fight in war, yet you have not, because you ask not. Our whole problem is we don't ask God. We're so wrapped up in our own world, we're so wrapped up in doing what we think is best, what we think that, I'll do it myself. You've heard that old adage that if you want something done, do it yourself? Well, I've tried that. There's a lot of things I do, and I do myself. But there's times when I get down and I realize I can't do it myself. And when I'm working on the car sometimes, I'm turning around and I'm wondering, how is this going to get done? And I can usually, anytime most of you guys, if you're working on the car, you always run across the bolt that won't move. It just won't budge. And so you go hunting for the biggest wrench you can find. And while we were on vacation and I needed to move a bolt, and I went to the store three times to get a wrench that would move this bolt. And you know, all three wrenches didn't fit. And I said, Lord, what do I do now? He said, I should have done that the first time. I said, they're trying to do it myself, trying to take this bolt off all by myself. And the more I got, the more frustrated I got. And the worse this thing got, started coming apart. And the whole thing just wasn't working. I couldn't get the bolt off. I said, Lord, I need your help. So the Lord turned around and said, I'm going to teach you a lesson in this one. And he gave me the most offbeat wrench that they had available. A bike wrench. A wrench that fits a bicycle. And it wasn't the regular 3/16 or 7/16 or anything like that. It was in meters. I had to have a 10 millimeter wrench. And God gave it to me. And he showed it to me, and I said, I went out there. And of course, the part where the wrench fit, that 10 millimeter one, wasn't on the end of that side or wasn't on the end of that. So that when you needed to use it, it wouldn't go up into the area where it needed. It would fit, but once you got it up there, you had no room to turn it. I said, all right, Lord, what do I do now? He said, remember the knife you brought with you? That thing's made out of plastic. I said, yeah, Lord, I didn't. So I got the knife out, and he says, now cut. So I ended up, I cut around the bolt. And the plastic thing that I needed to get off, I came off. I should have asked God first in the first place. But you know what? In asking God, the first thing that you need to do is ask God for salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's the first thing. When I got saved, I realized that I was in Bible school at the time. And I made a profession. I was one of those guys who made the profession of faith because I was following the preacher who was preaching at the church. And I don't have time to go through all that. Long story short, I wanted to be like him. I wanted to do what he did. I wanted to do what he's doing now because he had one of those mega churches. And so I went off to Bible school, and I took the same school he did. I went and I got the same course he took. I got some of the same teachers he took. And I started, and to top it all off, I had, the week before I went to school, I had knee surgery. And this before they had arthroscopy. And I after the surgery, I had this big long cast from the top of my hip all the way down to the tip of my toe. And I had to ride to school in a Volkswagen. And then they sit down behind that. That was tough. But there things happened that I realized. There were people at school that had told, were testifying that God told them to do this and to do that and how to do it and where to do it and all that business. And I'm sitting there in my prayer closet and I said, Lord, how come you don't tell me these things? And I didn't think anything of it until about 3 days later when a fellow student sat me down and we were in a place called Happy Corner, a little restaurant that the school had. It's like a little diner or what have you. And we were talking about salvation, and he told me to turn 1 John chapter 5 and verse 9. And usually they read it, and I can put up with that. I was okay with that and what have you. And he says, "Well, you go ahead and read it." And I gave him one of those looks that if it could kill, he was dead. And so I read and I said, "If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. But this is the witness which he has testified of the Son, that he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life." And then he says, "Do you know what that witness is?" And I've been in school about maybe 6 months or what have you. And I said, "Yeah, I know what that is." He said, "Well, what is it?" "That's the Holy Spirit telling you where to go, what to do, when to do it, how to do it." Boy, as soon as I said that, my mind went back to that prayer closet, asking God that question. And God here in that little cafe is telling me the answer. Why? Because he wasn't in my heart at the time. I started crying like a little baby. And the old devil, you know how he pops up. "Hey, everybody's looking at you." And I said, "Yeah, but it's me that's lost, not them. I had 1 foot in the grave and the other one coming back behind it real fast." April 5th, 1972, I bowed my head and asked Jesus Christ to save me. And it's been different ever since. I was in school long enough, couldn't pay my school bill. I had that cash in my leg, didn't have a job, couldn't work anywhere. And so I owed school quite a bit of money. And says, "You can't pay, you can't stay." So I started loading up my cart. The cash was off by then. And going through therapy and stuff like that to get the leg to work right. And as I was loading up my cart, getting ready to leave, about $40 in my pocket, that was all I had to my name. I was going to drive back across country. By the way, that was still with gas, and still 39 cents. And so I figured $10 might get me halfway across the country. That my Volkswagen was getting about 45 miles a gallon at that time. And I think they got those off the road now. But anyway, the last thing I put in my car was my guitar. And as soon as I closed the door, the phone rang. And it was one of the professors that said, "I heard you're leaving." I said, "Who told you?" "Little bird." "I don't know. I don't know who told me." He said, "Well, I've got a place for you to stay." And I said, "I don't have any money." He said, "That's okay. You take care of it. The first month, we'll take care of that." Rent was $82.50 a month. Try that guy here. And as I went, I turned and I found out. The next thing, I hung up. I said, "Okay." The next thing, there was another phone call. He says, "We want you to come down and interview for a job." Next thing I know, I've got both a home to stay in and a job at the same time. Stay in school. Wow. I said, "Thank you, Lord." And so I moved into the apartment. It's an upstairs apartment. And I checked it out, but I didn't have anything to cook with. Of course, I didn't have any money to buy any food, so what was the difference? But I said, "Lord, I need some essentials." Told nobody. I only stayed in my apartment. I only prayed and asked God for these things. And I went off to work, and the next day I come home. After the third day of work, I come home, and I'm upstairs. Going upstairs, there's two bags sitting in front of my doorstep, one with dishes and the other with pots and pans. And I told nobody but God. I asked God for it. He said he'll supply all my needs. And brothers and sisters, he'll supply your needs as well. He's told us that he's promised that you have a roof over your head, clothes on your back, and food on your table. He's promised those things. And we are so wrapped up in ourselves sometimes, we forget to not only thank him for it, we forget to ask him for it. The first thing we need to do about salvation is asking God. Then they're asking God for our daily needs. I just was going over that. The disciples asked Jesus, "Lord, teach us to pray." He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses." And God, is teaching his disciples to pray for their daily needs. But not only our daily needs, but also to pray for the impossible. And here is where we kind of sit today. We're in a church and we see this building in answer to prayer. I've seen this building, and many of you have too, that before this auditorium came to pass. It was just a little old thinking thing. We had Sunday school classes off to the side there. We had a nursery back there in the back, and boy, did it stink. You know, but we got cleaned all that up. And God has blessed you in this auditorium. Why? All in answer to prayer. And many things that we see today, the turning around and asking God for the impossible. Now, I'm not going to get political or anything like that, but if you're watching today in the debates and all the rest of that that's going on in our country, yes, it concerns us. You can say that we can, you know, we need to turn to God and all that, but there's a difference in all what we see. We just see the crumbling and the destruction of our country right before our very eyes. And the only way to change that is to ask God to change it. Asking for the impossible. There was a man in Mark chapter 6 where his daughter had a demon. The disciples were trying to cast that demon out, and it was impossible for it to happen. They weren't able to do so. And the man cried out to Jesus, and he said in verse 23, Jesus said to the father, he said, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And the man turned around and says, "Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief." And I think that's one thing that we need to confess to God today is we hear what God says, we read what God says, we hear what other people are saying, what God says, but we have some blockage in our mind for some reason that we just, yeah, I hear it, but I don't believe it. God said all things are possible for you to believe. And here's a father who was so concerned for his daughter, he turned around and said, "Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief." And at that time, Jesus turned to the straw and cast that demon out of her. It rent her, tore her down to the ground and everything, but the demon left. The disciples came to Jesus and said, "Lord, why couldn't we do that? Jesus said, "This time only comes out by prayer and fasting." God can do the impossible. He does the impossible. As a matter of fact, not only did Joshua chapter 2, Joshua turned around and they're fighting in the valley of Jezreel or Adullam. And there's five kings out in that valley that spans throughout the valley in Judea and what have you. And Joshua has orders from God to take out these five kings and their armies. Joshua starts the battle and they're going at it. He's already taken down a couple of the kings and he's looking at the time of day it is. And he looks at the Lord and says, "Lord, we don't have enough time. The day is going to be gone. It's going to be night soon. And these men are going to get away under the shadow of night. And they're not going to get caught like you want them to." So what did God do? He turned around and caused the sun to stand still for the space of a whole day. Why? At the request of one man, Joshua. Not happened since, but the space of a whole day. God caused the sun to stand still. That's how powerful prayer is. Hezekiah was told to get his affairs in order in 2 Kings chapter 20. He was told to get his affairs in order because he was getting ready to die. God was going to take his life. He had served his purpose, and now he's sick. And Isaiah told him to come to his palace and said, "Hezekiah, get it together. You're getting ready to die." Boy, that's not good news. And he turned around. Hezekiah, as Isaiah was walking out, he had already passed out of Hezekiah's bedroom where he was, going down to the halls of the palace. turned his head to the wall and he cried like a baby and said, Lord, remember all the things that I've done, all the things that need to be done, all the things, but Lord, just I look to you for my life. God answered that prayer. Matter of fact, as Isaiah was heading out the corridor, God stopped Isaiah in his tracks, sent him back to Hezekiah in his room, and told him, Hezekiah, God heard your prayer and has now given you 15 more years to live. Whoa, what an example that was. Of course, now Hezekiah, he says, well, how do I know God said that? So Isaiah says, well, take your pick. What do you want to happen? He says, you want the sun to go forward 10 degrees or you want the sun to go backwards 10 degrees? Hezekiah turns and says, well, it's easy if it goes forward because nobody really knows. But oh, what a situation if it goes backwards 10 degrees. So it happened. At Hezekiah's word, his prayer, and Isaiah's prayer, God calls the sun to go back, or the shadow of the sun to go back 10 degrees. The power of prayer. You never know what can happen in your life and in the lives of others as you give yourself to asking God for the impossible. The problem is, we just don't ask. What would happen to a church if it gave itself wholly to prayer on a continuous basis? There's a church in Georgia. I don't know how they're doing now, but when I was there, it was Woodstock Baptist Church in Woodstock, Georgia. Pastor was Johnny Hunt, but he had something he had going. His church was growing by leaps and bounds, and there's only one reason why that church was growing. He had a room in the back of the church that he had designated for prayer only, and he opened it up for 24 hours, not just for one day, but even today is open 24 hours a day. And people can sign up and go back there and pray any time of day or night. There's people that sign up for a half hour, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. And their churches, in this last Easter, they had an excess of 10,000 people. Not because of anything they did, except they made use of that prayer room back there in the back of the church. And everybody would sign up, and there was not a space available wherewith there was somebody signed up to go in that room and pray for the church and the people of that church. Every one of us need prayer. And it all comes to asking. We need to realize we just need to ask. Our biggest failure is we don't ask. And when we do ask, God reminds me of this all the time. I get in the mail, you ever get the envelopes in the mail at PCH? You know what I'm talking about? Publisher's Clearinghouse? You know, he says, well, if I fill that out, maybe I'll get it. This is the only legitimate one in the country. I said, sure. So I'm always filling it out. And then a little verse in the back of my head keeps telling me, and Jesus said, desire not to be rich. Desire not to be rich. He's talking about money. Money is an evil. But the desire of it is, the lust for it, the love of money is. God keeps reminding me of that. So I put it aside. I still fill them out. Crazy me. But God doesn't want me to be rich in that part. He wants me to be rich toward him. Well, a good example is Solomon. Solomon had prayed and asked God. He'd just become king. He's a young man, and he's turning around, and God told him to ask anything you want. Anything! He could ask for riches. He could ask for everything that there was to have. Instead, he said, Lord, all these people out here in this kingdom need a leader, and I don't know how to do that. Please give me wisdom to do it right. you know what? He asked for the right thing. Because on top of it, God was so impressed with his prayer that he didn't ask anything for himself, but he was asking for his people, and that they might, that he might lead them in a direction toward God, that they might live a righteous life. God turned around and added the riches to him. For he became the most wealthy king that ever lived. Wow. Because he had asked God to live righteously. Secondly, I got to move quick. He said not only to ask, he said seek and ye shall find. Seeking determines, gives a denotation of diligence. In other words, when you pray, when you're praying and asking God, you're seeking God for things to happen. He says don't just ask, but look for it. Seek it out. Check it out. The woman who had, in Luke chapter 15, the lost coin. She had 10 coins and she lost one. What happened to her? She turned around, she put the other 9 coins up on the counter, and she said she swept down and she swept her house. She cleaned it up. She was looking for that coin everywhere until she found it. And when she found it, she was rejoicing. And you know, we need to seek God just like that woman was seeking for that coin. When the lost sheep went astray, God, Jesus, the shepherd, he left the 99 and went looking for the one. And when he found the one, put him around his neck and brought him home. Wow. They were all rejoicing. And you know, even God now rejoices over in heaven for one sinner that repents. Seeking. The Bible tells us that in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You need a new car? You need your bills paid? You need money for insurance? Whatever it might be. You seek God's kingdom first, and it says he'll take care of the rest. But we need to be in the process of seeking. It takes work. We need to work at it. That means you got to seek for it. My wife's ever wanting me to back in the house. You ever did that? Did she ask you to back in the house yet? Do you? Yes, go ahead. Amen. Grudgingly? Sometimes. Listen. My wife asked me that. The number one thing I always hate was backing it. Because when I'm done, it hurts my back and all that. And just, I hate the noise of a vacuum cleaner. I don't know what it is. It's just, I just don't like it. And I've done it at times, I would tell you. And then they came out, and we were at Costco one day, and we saw this thing called a Roomba.
Amen.
Answer the prayer. It's a robot that did all the vacuuming. And we have one of those now. I don't have to do it anymore. Praise God. All I have to do is press the button and set the time and want it to go off. That is good. But you know, God is waiting for us to seek him to answer our prayers. Seeking. It means searching, looking, waiting, watching God do the work. A couple weeks ago it began to rain. And we heard that it was supposed to rain steadily and what have you. We came out of church and it was just a light drizzle type thing, you know, like a spritz. And my wife started complaining. I thought they said they were going to, that it was going to rain real hard, at least for a couple hours. I said, well, did you ask God? About that time, I turned and said, Lord, let it go ahead and rain a couple hours, a good, hard couple hours. In about 20 minutes, it started. And it lasted for 2 hours. Just exactly what I asked for. And I told my wife, I said, see, I told you it was going to happen. All you had to do was ask him. Has that happened before? Sure it did. Elijah prayed and it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. And it didn't. At the end of 3.5 years, he prayed again and it began to rain. John R. Rice Roberts used to tell the story that he had in his revivals down in Texas, that where there was a drought going on, and the crops were all dried up. People had no crops at all, and they needed rain desperately. The ground was cracking 6 inches down under the ground because it was so dry. And so they got the church together and began to pray. And as they prayed, here come the clouds. And it got heavier and it got heavier, and it began to rain. And during that week of revival, it was raining the whole week, and now it's beginning to flood. And the floodwaters were beginning to encroach upon the church doors. They got together and said, well, I guess God just knows how to answer prayer. Now we need to ask Him to stop it. And you know they did, and it stopped. God knows how to handle the rain. I said this to some of you heard this before, that I was taking my children to Disneyland on vacation many years ago, and it was a rainy day. Oh, what a horrible day that you planned the whole month, and your children are looking forward to going to Disneyland. They've never been there, and now they want to go, and what have you, and it was raining. I said, Dad, we can't go. I said, well, let's pray and ask God to take care of it. We did. He said, Lord, please let it not rain while we're there. So we got in the car, and by faith, we drove to Disneyland. Not from here, it's in Southern California at the time. But well, it rained the whole time getting there, and as we pulled into the parking lot of Disneyland, it stopped raining. The clouds were still there, but it stopped raining. And so we went in and we enjoyed ourselves. We were there the whole day. About 5 o'clock in the afternoon, we said we had enough and we go home. Didn't rain one time while we were there. And as soon as we got out of the parking lot, got in the car, I looked up on the windshield and it started raining again. God knows how to answer prayer. Seeking God. And lastly, knocking. He says, knock and it shall be opened unto you. Knocking. It denotes urgency. Lord, I need help! Whoa. Some of you ever doing door knocking as we went out to pass out trash and trying to witness to people? People inside couldn't even hear it. That's no wonder they didn't answer the door. But you go up to that door and they're hearing urgency. They're hearing, what's going on? What do you want? Who are you? Now you might get kicked out most of the time, but they note that knocking was a part of urgency. And in all of that, we need to come to God's Lord. We need help. I want to thank all of you that prayed for my daughter. By the time she was having brain surgery, we all prayed and asking God, because it's a dangerous, dangerous operation, brain surgery. They didn't find anything. Oh, they found her brain. But they could not find anything to diagnose what was wrong. Why? God was answering our prayers. Now she still needs prayer because they haven't found anything, they still got her on medication, and I think the medications are contributing to some of the things that's going on with her. But prayer. We need to know that prayer changes things. The power of God. You see, let me finish the rest of this phrase here, and we'll be done. He said, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. For what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then, being evil, you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask Him? God's just waiting for us to ask. He's waiting for each and every one of us. What's in your life that you need to ask? Asking for bread. Peter was in jail. Karen put him there. The church got together and they were praying. And they prayed so hard that God sent an angel to open up the doors of the prison and let Peter out. As Peter was walking down, that way the angel had to wake Peter up. And the angel caused the chains to fall off of his hands and his feet. Peter stood up and started walking down the hallway where the prison was, and the gates just opened up, just like our electronic doors today. Now, you know, they didn't have electricity back then. The doors just opened up. And as he got outside the prison, the angel told him, says, "Go." Peter made his way back to where the people were praying, and he goes and he's knocking at the gate. Rhoda heard him, and she goes running out there and hears Peter's voice. She recognizes it, and she's so surprised, she forgets to open the gate, but runs back inside and says, "Peter's outside." They're all been praying, and they don't believe that he's there. They think he's a ghost. And she urges them, the urgency, she urges them, "Go out there. He's knocking on the gate." And sure enough, they get out there, and it's Peter. Surprise in our lives. Even sometimes God answers prayer and it will surprise you. Oh, listen. When's the last time we were surprised that God answered our prayers? We need to get busy praying. Want to change our world today? Want to see what God's going to do? Now, maybe He won't change it the way you want to change. But I guarantee whatever you're praying, it will change the world. And you just ask me. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to speak your word tonight. Lord, stir our hearts. Stir us that we might know